Hi, I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News. We'll get to the latest episode of Daily Drive in a minute, but I'm hoping you'll spend a few minutes taking our Daily Drive listener survey. We can't thank you enough for listening and want to know more about you, your listening habits, and any other feedback you may have for the program. The survey will take less than 2 minutes to finish and is completely anonymous. So please, visit autonews.com/DDSurvey and take the survey today. And as always, thank you for listening to Daily Drive.
Daily Drive is brought to you by Reynolds & Reynolds. Want to know how dealerships like yours saw increased profit performance dealership-wide? Visit reyrey.com/KPI to read the Impact on Profitability Study. That's reyrey.com/KPI.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive. It's Monday, September 21st. Every change at the top of an organization sends a shock to the system. New leaders have new agendas, different playbooks, and unique plans. The change at Ford Motor Company, which will occur 10 days from today, will have a sense of familiarity to it. Jim Farley wasn't born to run the automaker, but it's pretty close. His grandfather and mentor, Emmett Tracy, worked for Henry Ford in the 1900s. Jim grew up driving Fords. His move to Ford in Detroit in 2007 after 17 years with Toyota was viewed as a natural return home. His ascension means even more. He's a car guy who's raced at Le Mans. He's a product guy who cares deeply about the road ahead and the vehicles that will come. He's a marketer, a communicator, and a man who cares deeply about the city of Detroit. So where do we find Jim Farley today on the eve of his ascension to the top post in a company undergoing an enormous transformation? Of course, he's visiting a dealership. And not just any dealer, but a dealer with a symbolic tie to Ford's past and Jim's past. To tell that story and the story of what life at the top will be like at Ford, we've reached incoming CEO Jim Farley in Dearborn, Michigan. Well, Jim Farley, it's good to hear your voice again. It's been a while.
Jason, wonderful to join you.
So I know you have a few things that you're working on, some of which we're going to allude to in a moment. But I want to start off with how you have spent today. Tell me where you were today and what it meant to you.
Well, one of the real highlights today was celebrating Jim Siebert, who is the dealer principal of Village Ford. Every car company around the world has their local dealer, and Jim is in Dearborn. His dealership was actually designed by the company, decades and decades ago. And Jim was a neighbor of mine here in Michigan. It was a really touching event. It's something I've been going to for my whole career. But to go at this point in my life, at this point in our industry with COVID, it was a particularly emotional day to recognize Jim and his dealership.
What were you recognizing him for, Jim?
He received four, highest achievement awards from the company, from after sales to the finance company to customer satisfaction. But he's one of eight dealers in the country who have won our triple crown, which is customer satisfaction, after sales, and sales. He's won it 12 years in a row.
Wow.
So I wanted to be there in person. And also, Jim's dealership is the one that Alan went to sell, coming from Boeing. He wanted to know what it was like for our dealers to sell a car. And so this is the dealership that Alan chose. And I wanted to be there too for that reason, because it's maybe a rite of passage.
And now you walk in 2 weeks nearly to the day of when you're going to be the next Ford CEO. That's got to be an amazing moment for you.
It was terrific. No drama. We have a great team and an important job to do, not only for Ford, but for our country and for the Ford family. But yes, I can't not look back on that and think about all the experiences I've had and, frankly, how thankful I am and how humbled I am to lead the Ford team globally. And it all starts with one footstep. And that footstep early on was meeting Jim Kim Sievert as dealerships. So, you know, more than 13 years ago, he was the first dealer I met.
When you returned to Michigan after your experience in California with Toyota.
Correct. Yep, that's exactly right. He was the first one. Alan said, I just sold the car at Village Ford. You have to meet my friend, Jim Sievert. I drove down, I think it was my first or second day of the company 13 years ago. And I met Jim. We sat in his office and he told me where we stand as a brand. And we've been friends ever since.
I know you're in the process of getting your plan together, your strategy together. All that's going to come out. But can we just talk a little bit about what this means to you in the coming weeks? You have addressed our own Automotive News Group privately, where you've shared your own personal experiences with the Ford brand. Is this a fulfillment of a lifelong dream?
I really look at my role at Ford in whatever leadership role, including this new one, as, you know, I'm there to serve our team members, our dealers, our stakeholders. And so, yes, it's a different kind of role. But I really see this as a chance to accelerate our double transformation of our automotive operations and to grow again profitably. And we you know, it's all about the team for me. So, you know, privately, I may have my own individual thoughts, but the most important thing for me is the team, and all of us feel the weight of the responsibility, but also the excitement to get going. We have such a great opportunity. We have all of these new products coming out right down the road from Village Ford. We just finished the conversion of the plant for the new Bronco. Right up the road in Dearborn, we're just lining off the brand new F-150 in electric. I mean, it's like literally, Jason, I can't wait to get going.
I bet. How do you think your previous roles over the course of the last dozen or so years have prepared you for what's to come?
What a great question. I look back at my career and think about mostly the roles that were outside of the normal increasing responsibility, the normal trajectory of someone in our industry. I think of my job at Scion, the early days at Lexus, the early days of Ford of Toyota Europe, and especially the most recent roles, leading mobility and new businesses for the company. I really guess getting outside of the industry or taking on big, challenging, you know, never before kind of opportunities stretched me as a leader. And I made lots of mistakes and I learned from each of them. And I think that portfolio of experience has kind of uniquely given me a solid foundation for what we face now in our industry.
I know you're in preparation mode, but how are you preparing to roll out what you want to do?
Well, we'll get there. It's just a few weeks away, but I've been very clear with the team. First of all, Jim Hackett, Bill Ford, the Ford board have been so terrific, so supportive of this transition. And it's gone really well. To really deliver on the opportunity we have with customers to grow our business profitably, we have to have the right org design, the right team, the right governance, and the right plan for the company. And we've been working on each one of those. And I can't wait to tell everyone about it.
Since we have you, you know, it's been 6 months since you and I talked on this podcast. You might remember at that time you took a very unique flight from Detroit to California.
Yes.
You saw the land from a different angle. What does the world look like to you now?
Well, good question. Boy, customers have come back. The demand is really strong in Western Europe and in North America, but everyone's flat out. It almost looks like the opposite of that conversation I had with you. Everyone, the supply base, the manufacturing system, the whole industrial system, is working flat out. And when that happens, you know, scrambling becomes a core competency.
It's a good way to say it.
And yeah, so our team has been scrambling, and boy, are we! We, when we're in a crisis like this, we are fantastic. And it wasn't just the PPE preparation. It's what I see every day at Ford Motor Company. We have more than 300 suppliers on premium freight right now. The unbelievable work our team is doing in our manufacturing facilities in 100 degree heat with masks on, and our supply base with high levels of absenteeism. I've just never seen anything like it. It's in a way even more impressive than the 07, 08 time frame. And it's all about going flat out. I mean, pedal to the ground.
Since we talked last, partnerships have really come into the forefront. There's been a, you know, obviously the formation of some, even with your crosstown rival, news of late. Ford has obviously had ties with Mahindra, Volkswagen, Rivian. You're a pretty competitive guy. Does the Ford GM rivalry now extend to Rivian versus their partner?
I'll answer the question maybe a little differently. We feel great about our relationship with Rivian. RJ is an incredible entrepreneur. His products will be coming out next year. products plural, his SUV and pickup truck, but also his Amazon delivery van. We think he's the real deal because he's proven it. His products are terrific. They're focused on a specific customer, an enthusiast customer, and a commercial customer. And we think that the opportunity to work with Rivian is actually much more broad than a product. This is a technology company with incredible new capabilities, and our investment was really never focused on product X or product Y. Why we're so excited about the Rivian relationship is that it offers us so many new ways to accelerate our journey on electrification, digital services, and how we look at it is very broad. It's not a transactional relationship, and it's not an investment for upside financially.
You mentioned electrification. You're going to make some news tomorrow about a new facility within the Rouge plant that's going to be used to build the F-150 EV. How important is that to you?
Oh, boy. It's big because we're also celebrating the line off of the new F-150. So it's a kind of a double prize tomorrow. The electric F-150 is fundamental. We are the leader in commercial business here in the U.S. Most months we're 50% of the industry. In Europe, we're the leading brand. And, you know, we have so many customers, tens of millions of F-Series customers in our fleet, and many of them are now asking that they want to lower their operating cost and go all electric. And what makes us different in this market is that we're focused on Build Ford Tough. We have the testing, a fully green facility. This is a really breakthrough product for us for the capability itself. It's a product that will bring energy and electrons to the job site. It's so much more than a rolling new propulsion F-150. It is a very different new capability for our customers, and it is Build Ford Tough, and that will make us different in this market.
Let me ask you just a couple more things. What should Ford employees expect out of Jim Farley, the CEO?
A warm handshake. A teammate, a servant leader, someone who loves product, who loves our team, who wants to protect our values that make us different as a company, and someone who has a plan that involves everyone on the team. And I know that they're all really excited to grow the company profitably. I think that's we're going to have a lot of fun growing the company.
Dealer John Bergstrom in Wisconsin called me the day after your announcement and said to me, "We've got the right guy." He was as excited as anyone who I've talked to. I can only imagine the folks down at Village Ford were just as excited today.
It was a great event, and I'm so glad. You know, all the conference calls, we can, as leaders, get separated from the real coal face of our business. And the coal face of our business is our team members engineering new products, testing them, developing them, manufacturing them, working with our suppliers, and then our retailers. And every piece of that coal face, is what I want to spend most of my day close to.
Your grandfather was employee number what at Ford Motor Company?
300, just over 300, 350, 358.
So he was employee number 358. What would employee number 358 say about grandson CEO Jim Farley?
He would probably say, that is a good one. He would probably say, "I'm proud of you, but get back to work."
Thank you, Jim Farley.
You got it, Jason. Thank you.
And that's Daily Drive for Monday, September 21st. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 125 interviews, which have been listened some 300,000 times, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Tuesday. Now, a word from our sponsor.
In today's automotive market, maximizing existing profit centers and creating new ones is more than a savvy move. It's the biggest factor in getting the most out of every customer opportunity. What would it mean to improve your profit performance in every area of your dealership? More customer pay ROs. More finance growth from new and used vehicles. Fewer write-offs in service. Reduced time required to complete a deal. The key to all of that, and more, is giving your employees the freedom to drive revenue. Time they spend focused on manual processes is time that can, and should, be used in more profitable ways. When this happens, processes are redefined, employees are empowered, and attention can be turned back to the customer. It all adds up to your dealership becoming the best version of itself. The big question is, how much more do you stand to make? How would a 44.3% increase in service department gross affect you? What about a 25.7% increase in combined gross per new vehicle sold? Those aren't theoretical figures. They are real key performance indicators from a 3-year study of dealerships who gave their employees that freedom to do more with their time. With the right tools behind your revenue drivers, you'll see improved profit performance too. To see more key performance indicators from real dealerships like yours, visit rayray.com/KPI and read the full Impact on Profitability report. That's reyrey.com/KPI.